to this week's episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. I am one of your hosts, Jody Sweeten, along with the woman who helps me wrangle the squirrels when, you know, she's not doing some squirrel wrangling of her own, Celia Behar. Hi, Celia.
Hi. The fact that I'm in charge of wrangling anything in these current days is not good. Well, let's just be clear.
Somebody needs some supervision here.
Both of us. That's why Sabrina's here, because
Terrifying. I know, Sabrina. That's horrifying. There really is no one. Sabrina's the most responsible, terrifying person I know.
I don't even know what to say.
And anyone out there who knows Sabrina's like, oh my God, that's totally actually right. Like, she's the most responsible, the most terrifying and responsible person that I know.
Well, she's the conductor on the Hot Mess Express today.
Ooh, oh boy.
I mean, this shit is no joke right now.
No, like, joke.
At all. I've been a disaster. I'm not even going to say why, but I'm going to tell it. Can I tell a story? Can I tell the story about Saturday? Because really, it took a while.
What was the story?
What happened? It really
what
took
did
a
I
while.
Do? No, when you I nearly didn't. Passed out.
Yes, that.
Oh, Jesus, Lord. Yeah. Go for it.
All right. So Jody and I were at John and Caitlin Stamos's house for a mom political.
Yes.
Action.
Check out at Vote Mama, by the way, and also check out their app. They're going to be launching their app pretty soon. They're looking for people to kind of do some beta testing on it. So fancy. But yeah, they're looking for people. So check out at Vote Mama, and we're actually thinking of having her on the show, and I cannot remember her name right now because
Luba.
Yes, I'm so terrible.
Sorry,
and awful.
Me
but
too.
Yes, I have followed her, and I'm going to be in contact with her because I think she'd be great
for
the show.
She followed me as well on the show, and
yes,
I'm
and there were some other great political people on there that
it was awesome, and Caitlin did such a great job, and
also bundt cakes,
and oh my God, and she saved
so
my life with a fucking bundt cake. So anyway, I've been going through some shit. And when I have anxiety, I can't eat.
I know. I know.
I can't eat.
The thought of chewing is
terrifying.
Oh
my God. I just can't do it. So I haven't really been eating. And Jody came and picked me up and I like rallied. I'm like, you know, so much self-talk between tears of like, you would do this. And Jody comes and gets me and we go to this thing and I'm like, I got this. I'm all right. I'm okay. But I also hadn't been near people, like, at all.
Right.
And it was
It was a lot of people.
And I'm like, oh, my God. And it was really hot. Like, it didn't.
Yeah, we were. It was just the sun. A lovely day.
Yeah.
If you were, like, poolside and could, kind of, you know.
Right.
But otherwise, we were, like, standing and it got a little hot. We were also one of the maybe seven people that were standing in the direct sunlight. Because I turned around and looked and everyone else had kind of crept back into shady spots. And I was like, oh, so it's us. We're the idiots. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Like we're dumb. And so I'm like dehydrated, I'm sure. I haven't eaten. And I'm like
overwhelmed,
anxiety ridden. And then we're talking about all the political state of the world and especially for women, which was also like not helping. And I've never
considered the perfect storm that was. I'm like, sorry that I brought you to that.
It was not your fault.
No, it was good for you.
It was good to get out, but like, holy crap. And so then I'm like, it was the perfect storm. It really was. I've never passed out in my life. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, I'm seeing spots. I'm not totally sure that I'm going to make it.
Your lips were blue.
Yeah.
Dude.
It
like
was,
you were a shade. I was like, oh my God. And
yeah.
then like you went to go sit down and I like got pulled talking to somebody and I'm like looking over their shoulder like, is my friend dying?
I walked by you. I'm like, I have to go inside. I'm not feeling well. And right as I did that, like the speeches were over because you're like, okay, I'm coming. And then I like watched as like 18 people like, you know,
but I saw you sit down and then I was like, eat a bun cake. Well,
but there was nothing there at the time. So I sit down,
there wasn't,
I have water. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, this isn't helping. I'm super nauseous. Please don't let me throw up. But I'm like in the middle of this event.
Man, don't
so
be,
I like
no.
rally myself and I'm like, just got to get to the bathroom. Thank God I know where the bathroom is.
Right.
And I just go into the bathroom and like, no joke, I close the door. I don't turn on the lights. And I just like, go. I like hit the ground. Like I don't pass out, but I'm like, oh, nope, really
no,
can't
we
stand
need to
anymore.
We need
Great.
To get very low.
And
before
I just
we hurt
sit on the like tile and it's cool.
Oh, that's the best.
And I'm like, oh, thank God. And like the breeze is or like the AC is like blowing on me and everything. And I'm just like, you have to get your shit together. You cannot pass out in the Stamos bathroom. Fucking deal with your life. This is not it.
Deal with your life.
Like fucking get not- up. And so finally I'm like, I calm down. And it was. It was a complete right. panic attack. Like it was, panic yeah. beyond measure. And I'm like, all right, you're fine. Everything's
you
fine.
So brave.
This
my
is
friend.
My, I was like, you're good. You got this. No one's going to know. It's not a big deal. Like, go out. You'll find Jody. You'll be all right. And I open the door and there's Patton Oswalt standing there.
Hi, I'm like, right.
You know what I mean? And I'm just kind of like, whose life is this? Like this, I used to live in like fucking upstate New York and like deal with at-risk kids. And now I'm like passed out on the Stamos's bathroom only to walk out to Patton Oswalt. You know, like
well,
I was like, hey,
you're welcome, my friend.
What's up? You know, and of course he was so lovely and nice. And I like talked to him for a few minutes because we know people in common. And then I realized as I walked away, as I'm still seeing spots, that I never said who I was or anything. So like, so whatever, bye. Sit down. Caitlin saw me and was like, are you okay? What's going on? I was like, I am having like a sunstroke
like moment,
something. Yeah, and she knows what's going on in my life anyway. Yeah, yeah. So she was like, hold on. She gets me an ice pack and a glass of water. She's like, put this on the back of your neck. You're okay. You're okay.
I love Caitlin. She's such a
Such a sweetheart. And then she fed me bun cakes.
Oh my God. And they were so good.
We ate.
I may have
we
eaten
ate like we did. We both did.
I was like, I'm always have one. And I was like, you know what? You know what? There's two. And Caitlin was like, there's so many. Please eat them. And I was like, well, I don't want to be rude. So
then we
I
split
did.
One.
Oh, and then I was, yeah, we split one. It was one of those.
I was saved. Ah, that's such a good title.
Saved
I was saved. I was saved by the bunt cake.
Aww.
And I kept walking around to you. I was like, "Is it a bunt? Is a bunt? What? Is a bunt? Bunt?" Because I can't not from you know my big fag regretting. But right. yeah, and then we took one to go. Like then we were both like, "Let's
take one to go." Yeah, and then the best part of it was I was starving. Right, I hadn't eaten all day. So what do I do but go to your house
yep.
and then proceed? I was like, "Oh my God, I'm hungry." And then I was like, "But I don't really want salty. Like I want sweet because of course I do." And and so I open up and you had, God damn it, you had a tin, the Royal Danish
from your
cookies
mom.
From my mom.
Yep. From your mom.
The blue ones, the fucking
fault,
drugstore,
Janice.
The drugstore cookies.
Sugar cookies. Oh, not even sugar.
No,
they're shortbread.
No.
Yeah, they're shortbread.
No,
right?
They are Danish cookies.
Oh,
they
butter,
are very
right.
specific
God,
Royal
so
Danish
good.
Cookies. Mm-hmm. They're butter cookies.
Mm-hmm.
They're amazing. And I ate all of them. I ate all the rest that was in there. And I was like, and then I like walked over, sat on the couch and I walked back by and I was like, oh shit, I did that. Like I just,
oh my God, I'm glad you did. I also scared the shit out of her with my SodaStream. She's like, she's eating cookies.
You did it right behind me. I didn't.
And then it like makes that like farting noise. And she was like, ah!
I had no idea that she was about to do whatever she was about to do behind me. And I'm just sitting there talking and this like shrieking, awful, horrific noise of a SodaStream starts behind me. And I just panicked.
It was
I thought she got her hand stuck in a blender or something. I didn't know what the fuck happened.
It was so funny.
It
was an eventful day.
It was an eventful day. And you know what we did? We did adult tasks.
We did adult tasks. And then we sat on my couch and you let me cry to you for about 2 hours, which I
yeah.
was very helpful because
yeah.
that's what best friends are for. And then you left and I cried more. It was great. It was a good time.
Then you cried because I left.
I did. Then my kids came home. That was great. Oh, wait, we have to talk about...
We have to talk about our shirts.
Yeah.
Someone sent me this store, and it's... What is it? Love, Alex? Wow, we're great.
I'll pull it up.
We'll pull it up.
It was Jennifer Killjoy that sent
yes.
them to us.
Yes.
Right? Or the store to us.
Jennifer Killjoy sent the store, but F-bomb kind of mom.
F-bomb
kind of
mom.
I thought Sabrina was just making inappropriate...
that really was something.
She was, like, telling me to talk closer into the microphone.
Yep. But yep, and if you could make that, you know what
no,
you know what it is.
Doing it,
you know what
like,
it is. You know.
I was like, why is she?
Yeah.
Talking
pretend she was holding a mic and trying to get Jody to put the mic to her. That was the gesture she was making.
Please get closer. What the hell is the sign for that?
That
is actually the sign for it.
And no matter what you're holding, that still is
what you're
right.
holding.
That's
it's
still
you're holding, and you're bringing it closer
yeah,
to your
yeah,
mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, boy.
I think this day is going to be great. Jesus fucking
anyway,
Christ.
Anyway, and we have another show in 30 minutes with a guest, so we have to get through whatever this is going to be quickly.
Shop Love Alex.
Yes, Shop Love Alex. F-bomb kind of mom. Go speak in the microphone. And these are the shirts that we got. So anyway, check out at Shop Love. What is it? At
Shop Love. Shop Love Alex.
Love right? X Alex.
Yeah. Yes. Shop Love X Alex. And we follow her.
Yeah. She's really awesome. Cute stuff, fun mama made, you know, homemade small business type of stuff. So,
yeah. Earrings and stuff too. She's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I got the cute little butterflies.
Yeah. It was perfect for Mother's Day.
I actually gave my mom the little butterfly studs.
Oh, I'm
she
glad.
Loved them. Yeah.
I'm glad. We should take a break. And we then I also want to hear how your Mother's Day was.
Oh, it was good. We'll chat quickly about Mother's Day and then we'll go to break. Let's do Mother's Day first.
Fine.
Mother's Day was nice. I went down to my parents' house with the girls, and we were gonna go out to one of our favorite restaurants down there called the Original Fish Company, which has been there forever, and we've gone there my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And really great seafood. But the wait was like almost 2 hours, and just like, yeah, that's not happening. So we ordered takeout instead, which was still about 45 minutes, but that was fine. I could take my mom and the kids home, and then I just went back and picked it up. So we had a lovely lunch together, coconut shrimp and ahi tuna bowls and stuffed scallops and bread and chowder and all kinds of things. And then I took the girls shopping, which was a fruitless endeavor. Zoe needs a
You took the kids shopping out. on Mother's Day.
Look. I did get some things for myself. I got some things from Lush. But
that
Zoe
doesn't
needs-
sum up being a fucking mom. Exactly. I don't even know what does.
Exactly. But Zoe needed dresses for graduation coming up. So we had to do that. And we found nothing. So that was awesome. But like everything is cut for fucking Euphoria High. I'm not kidding. I was like, what are these dresses?
That was brilliant.
Everything is cut for Euphoria High. Like one fucking nipple cover over here. And I'm like, who? Also, just in a general sense, who is wearing these?
Nicki Minaj.
Okay, but not that. Like,
she should be.
If you need a dress for a wedding, what are you wearing?
I'm
wearing this. And I know you can't necessarily wear all this shit to prom or something. Like, who is wearing all of these things that everything is cut out of? I don't want to pay for things I'm not getting. I want a dress.
Yeah.
Give me a dress. And I know I sound old right now, but God damn it.
I took Harper's to Urban Outfitters. Urban Outfitters?
Like,
no, Anthropologie.
Like,
no, Urban Outfitters.
This tie's here, and then this is open here, and then look, that's cute, and it's fine. But when my like eighth, ninth grade daughter is trying to find summer dresses, and everything is just that it's really impossible.
Take her to Urban Outfitters. There's very cute, nice, pretty, not pieces missing from Urban Outfitters. I will say that. But I also it's so funny because I like make fun of you for taking them shopping, but then I also had said to Harper, like, because I promised that we would get things for her room, because she just like never picked things out since we moved. And so I kept being like, send me a wish list. And finally, you know, yesterday she's like, I have that wish list now. And I was like,
of course you do.
Great.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, a couple $100 later, I was like, fine. I just pulled the trigger, bought everything for her that she wanted on, not everything, but you know, the things that decided on so that she could have like a room.
Yeah,
yes. I bought lunch for us.
The girls are going through redos now. So, well, Mescal's treating me to a massage later.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic. Yeah. I'm glad.
Yeah, so that'll be nice.
Well, Harper made me a meal. She made brunch.
You said that. That's so.
She was like
awesome.
A rock star. She listen. I know we've talked about this before, and this will actually kind of tie into things that we, you know, what our kids can and can't do at different ages. But we're going to talk about it on the show. But I have not been able to hide what's been going on in my life from my kids. Not to mention, it also affected them, and so they have been so great because I can't tell you how much. I mean, I'm just crying, and I look at them, I'm like, I'm really sorry, and they're like, Mom, if you weren't sad, if you're not crying, like, would that be weird? Like they've been great, and so Harper had told me then, you know, the night before, she said, you're gonna hear things in the morning and the ring's gonna go off, and I do not want you to get out of bed, like, don't worry about it, I got this. And I said, all right. And I did. And so she had walked to the store and with her own money and bought everything that she wanted to make for brunch. She made blueberry buttermilk pancakes from scratch and bacon. Aww. And she was like, I couldn't buy champagne because, you know, I can't buy alcohol.
Right.
I said, thank God. And she's like, but you had the vodka in the freezer. And so I made you like a faux mimosa. She like, it was very cute. And like all this fresh fruit she cut up, and she brought me roses and
that's
like decorated
so
the whole table. Yeah. And Lulu helped the whole time, and like
good
they never
job,
fought.
Ladies.
And by the way, Lulu comes in. She's like, Mom, can you come in the kitchen? There's something in there. I don't know what it is. And it's like scaring me. I go, Lulu, you do understand that my room is like on the opposite wall of the kitchen and I can hear you and I can smell the food. So you can kind of drop that act.
No, I would have rolled with it. Been like, really? What's happening?
Oh, come on. She was like, okay, just come. You know, and then we ordered sushi later. We watched Spider-Man. Yeah, that's good.
Well, we will be right back. And today we are talking about the show Old Enough on Netflix, which is the game show that sends small children to do adult errands. It's been airing in Japan for a long time, but we're going to talk about it here because it just started airing here when we get back.
We haven't talked about it at all either, you and I.
Oh boy.
Okay.
One of the most important things for Celia and I is spending our money on products that actually mean something to us. And that's why we absolutely love the new lifestyle brand, Ivory Ella. I'm actually wearing one of their super comfy sweatshirts right now.
It's so cute. It's true. Not only does Ivory Ella make the absolute cutest clothing, it donates 10% of its profits to Saving the Elephants and other charitable causes.
And you know my love of elephants. This was actually launched by college students and a high school teacher and organically grew into one of the largest and most passionate communities of supporters wanting to make a difference in the world, which is only one of the reasons why I love Ivory Ella.
Oh, me too, especially because Ivory Ella has donated over $2 million in charitable causes. It's creating fantastic clothing for a good cause. I also have a sweatshirt from them. I wore it the other night.
It's so soft.
Oh my gosh. And like kept me warm. It was chilly out. I just changed in your house, put it on, and I was like, oh, this is the best thing ever.
And most importantly, it's got a little elephant on the front, which seriously though, if you guys know, I love elephants. I've always loved them since I was a kid. And so this brand for me, knowing that some of the money is going to Saving the Elephants is really fantastic. And protecting the elephants is a big task, but one that Ivory Ella is committed to. So they're doing it by making responsible, sustainable designs that are comfortable, extremely cute, and also trendy.
Oh, seriously. My kids love it, and I love their products too. It's no wonder they went viral after debuting on America's Country Music Awards in 2015 with 500 shirts sold in 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
10 minutes. And pre-orders backed up for over 100 days, their first year in business.
Everything you buy from Ivory Ella helps save the world just a little bit. In addition to helping elephants through Save the Elephants charity, they also donate to Autistic Self-Advocacy Network, Cyber Smile Foundation, Reef Restoration Foundation, American Heart Association, Hearts and Bones, and more.
Ugh, I love that. Now you can be a part of the herd. Go get your Ivory Ella products for 15% off using the code SAYTHIS at ivoryella.com/collections/new-arrivals.
Are back. So we are going to be chatting today about a new Netflix show that's getting a lot of buzz because it stars small children, very small children. As you guys probably know, small children and the ups and downs of raising them into productive, well-adjusted adults is a topic that we talk a lot about on this show because we're actually attempting to do that. And it's way fucking harder than it looks.
I mean, I'm not so sure how well-adjusted I am at the moment, but okay.
Well,
okay.
You know, well-adjusted to what? I mean, that's the question. You know what I mean? Like, I make to normal situations, probably not. Okay. But to strange things, absolutely. Yeah, I'm very well adjusted to that.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah, yes. Yes.
Weird shit.
We are, yes.
I'm like, this feels normal. Right. Yeah. So that's
Things shitting the bed all at once.
You're like,
yes,
I am well adjusted to
I am
to
well
this.
Adjusted to that.
Yeah. So that's true. You are fucking well adjusted. Don't let anyone tell you.
Right. Great.
You know, trying to raise our kids into normal humans and
whatever that means.
You know, we're in a different place now, too, because our kids, we've been through the little stage. You know, like, it's so nice now that, you know, they can come in here and they'll, like, turn the oven on and make a little frozen pizza or, like,
make me brunch.
Figure out how to order something for themselves or whatever. Like, they're older now and they can do that. But the Netflix show, which has come out of Japan called Old Enough, is working to teach very small children age 2 to 4 to go out and do adult tasks.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing.
It's 2 to 5, but.
I mean, it might be 2 to 5, but.
Not that it matters.
It is so dramatic. Oh my goodness. But also, I know, like, and I know there has been a lot of controversy around it. So before anyone loses their minds or, you know, calls whatever the Japanese version of CPS is, just know that the show has been airing in Japan since 1991. So the shows that you're seeing on Netflix now, those people all have grown up into human beings.
Right, they're adults.
With all of their, right, with limbs uh-huh. and things attached. Nothing uh-huh. tragic happened. They made it, at least nothing from this show.
That but we know of.
You're watching toddlers, you know, cross the street all by themselves and do things. Now,
not just do, they're like going on full-blown errands.
Yeah, but
like,
you know, that's actually a very typical Japanese thing.
I know.
So I think like also it's a cultural thing, which is really interesting, but it's highlighting sort of these pivotal moments for parents and children as it teaches the impact of a seemingly trivial task on a kid's life. And like also it's just fascinating. Like for me, I'm like, what do they do? Like, I always want to know, little kids left to their own devices, like,
right, what would they do?
Watching the preschool yard, that shit was fascinating. Because they're little, undeveloped-brained cave people, basically, with very minimal social skills who will bite each other if things don't go their way. And they're just trying to, like, figure out and operate in the world. And I'm like, how are they going to do this? Like, what frame of reference do they have? They're making shit up. And like, it's crazy to me.
It is crazy. And you kind of forget like what kids are, or I guess you like, maybe we didn't know, you know, you don't really know what kids are like totally capable of in a weird way, you know?
Right.
And it's like to see that happen. And like more so, I guess, like when we do know what they're capable of, it's because they've like gotten away with something or gotten into something and right. you're like, oh my God, I had no idea like they were able to do that. Like,
well, it's also that thing like when you see your kid, you know, using scissors and you're like, oh God.
Yeah.
Like there's some that you know they have to learn how to fucking use scissors. If they don't learn how to use scissors, they're going to be in trouble a lot as an adult. That's going to be the least of
And then
problems.
They'll hoard scissors and you'll never right, find them in your fucking house thing, again.
Right, and they're going to have a weird, right. Like, watching your kid use them for the first time, you're like, oh God, there goes a finger. There
right.
goes.
You're like, don't do it.
But yeah. I have to always remember, like, I remember looking, and I did this with Zoe and with B, is like looking at them and being like, I mean, humanity's made it this far. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like kind of try and be like, I guess, you know, you might fall and break something. I don't, you know, okay.
Right.
You're pretty bendy, you know?
Right. Well, they, and on purpose, they're supposed
like, that's
to be.
Thing, right? Like, that's the thing is I'm like, you know
right,
what?
They're
if
like
they were
pliable.
That fragile, I wouldn't be standing here at this park watching these kids eat shit in the sand. So,
right. Literally shit.
Literally
in
shit in the sand.
Wait, so listen to this. My friend Jason, my new friend Jason Cohen, who is part of the Parent Lounge show that
okay,
I
yeah,
did
yeah.
a couple weeks back. And actually, I'll be a regular on that show every
oh,
other
nice.
Week starting in a couple weeks. And they had it posted the other day, but he showed it to me. He has twins,
right?
Like, and they're like maybe two, I think.
Okay.
And he was in the bathroom and all of a sudden his ring was going off because they managed together to push a chair over to
right.
the door, bust the lock open on the front door, like together,
right.
and open up the door, and they just took off running outside, and it's all caught on the ring of like one
right.
and then the other and
yeah.
then like 5 seconds later he's just runs after
oh
them
God.
He's like, what are you guys doing?
Right. And they think it's hilarious.
And he said, he was like, they basically like Jurassic Parked that shit
right.
and like figured out how to like take the lock apart
yeah.
and get out the door. And when you think about that with these kids too, it's like those kids just put to their own devices figured that out
right.
These kids were actually given a task.
Well, they were given a task and
right.
So the first episode of
Gave
Old Enough
Anxiety.
Takes us into it. Just we immediately go right into it. A toddler is instructed by his mother to go on a 20-minute walk to the grocery store, crossing a major road.
20 minutes
to pick up three items: flowers, sweet curry, and fish cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and his mother gives him a big yellow flag to wave around when he's crossing the street. She says, "What do you do when you see a car?" And he raises a little flag. Okay. He's followed very closely by camera people who capture his every move. You know, it's not like they're shooting this by like a drone and like this
right, right.
toddler's
no, there's
just out
there.
Like there are people there.
And the toddler guards. Doesn't know that that's who they are.
Right.
They
the toddler has no idea.
Like,
you'll see the
look,
camera
yeah.
people like they have it in like a fishing tackle box or
right.
a card or a purse
right.
or whatever. The kid's walking down the street. Okay. And he gets to the store. He grabs the flowers and the sweet curry and then he gets in line to pay. Cashier helps him figure out the money and he leaves. However, he like, it was the cutest little thing. He's walking out the store. He goes, oh,
right.
He realized he forgot the fish cakes. He turns around, dragging his little flowers behind him, and goes, grabs the fish cakes, pays, and heads home.
Yeah.
This little kid's still in a diaper, by the way.
Yeah.
I was blown away, first of all, because I was like, I don't know if my kids could go and complete that task.
My kids wouldn't have come back. Harper would have come back. Lulu would have found another family.
They would have come back. But do you think all three of those things? And do you think if they started to leave and then remember they forgot something, would have been like, oh, shit, I should turn around and go
home? Jody, I asked Lulu to go into my room the other day. And I said, please grab my glasses and a blanket off of my bed. And she goes, OK, came back out with nothing. I go, where are the two things I asked you for? And she goes, oh. Right, what did you ask me for? Like, what did you do in my room? You walked down a hall, right. Stood in my room, and then we're like, came back.
I'm not going to lie. I do that quite often. But.
Yeah.
I'm actually not sure why I'm here right now. No. So I'm blown away by it. And then I also, like, it's such an interesting, because I know people here are freaking out, and I know people in Japan are like, why?
Why? Yeah.
And I remember even and that was one of the things when we were shooting in Japan and we were there, you would see small kids, maybe not necessarily as much in Tokyo, but you'd still, like, walking to school and stuff, you'd see kids where you were like, where are your parents?
Right.
Who are you with? You have to be with someone. Like, and they're just charging down the fucking street on their way to school, little backpack, got their thing, like, doing their thing. But here's the thing, other people look out for them.
Yeah.
And for me, watching this show weirdly made me sad, because I realized what a terrifying world our kids grow up in now, where there are places in the world where, like, a toddler could walk to the grocery store and you know that everyone is gonna look out for them instead of, like, be so busy and driving so fast in their car and texting on their phone and getting where they're going
and being judgmental,
or somebody like hurting your kid or taking all of these things. To me, it was such a cultural shift of, like, that's just such a different way of seeing your community, you know, that you go out and you trust your community rather than going out and being afraid of everyone that's around you.
It's interesting because, you know, I think there's pockets of communities within America that also are like that, though.
That's true. I mean,
culturally speaking. I mean, I used to when I'd walk by my, you know, Orthodox neighbors and like the 3-year-old would be out there holding the 6-month-old baby,
right,
you know, like doing whatever, like walking in, like, they, you know, and that's always how my older sister raised her kids, like they all took care of each other,
right,
and they were out and doing whatever, you know, and young, but I think it is such a huge difference in cultures, for sure.
Okay, the second episode,
is that the juice? Is that the juice?
That's the juice.
Juice
I loved, okay, that mom, first of all, when she is dragging him through the, like, the orchard or whatever, and she's just, like, dragging him by the arm.
Right.
I'm like, I love this mom. I relate.
She's done.
She's probably a Japanese F-bomb kind of mom.
Right,
like,
right.
You know, she's just like this fucking kid. Oh my God, I'm dragging you through an orchard. And so it's like, you know, she's like, okay, go make the juice. But how cute was it that they all got emotional when he went off on his own? Like, they were so... like, it was such a big moment. And I was like, oh, I love this. Anyway, but the kid, oh, Lord, the kid. Also, can we talk about the walls? I was like, this little child has drawn all over all of these walls. That was the first,
no,
I was like.
I'm telling you, there are certain things that gave me so much anxiety, and that was one of them.
That was one, that was definitely, like, one of them. I was like, and I wondered if that was, like, in one go, did he do such a big fucking mural on the wall that mom just went, yeah, I guess we
just
draw
go,
the walls now.
Fuck it.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that, I would have liked to have seen that moment, because I have a feeling it was like she dragged him by the arm, whatever. There was a whole moment, and then she just went, I guess this is what we do now.
Yeah. So screw it.
But he was bullshitting her on the phone, like, oh yeah, I made the juice. And she's like, I can see you. You know, and he was like, and I have seen I was like, I know this kid. My kids would get along real well with this kid.
Oh, my kid definitely would have been chasing the neighborhood dog for like 20 minutes.
Right, yeah.
Which is
sure. Oh, yeah.
You know, whoever owned the dog.
Like, they would have gotten back and been like, wait, we were supposed to make juice.
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
Like, but we have a dog. You know?
Right, yeah. I don't have juice, but I do have a dog.
Did you watch the episode where the little girl, she forgets something. I can't remember what it is that she forgets, but then she gets back and she's like beside herself that she forgot. And so she's like bawling and the mom's trying to cheer up and she's like, let me get you some ice cream. And she's like, no, I can get the ice cream. Like,
oh no. Oh God. Oh, that's also
that
really
was
like
killing me.
Oh,
in my current emotional state, I will tell you, I went from like laughing hysterically to feeling wild anxiety to then bawling.
I just was like, oh, this is cool. Because sometimes I know I baby the kids. I know I do it. particularly with B. I have to stop doing it. And I've tried to get better. And honestly, Mescal has helped me with that a lot because he's like, they're capable.
They are. They are.
And in an NPR article titled, A Four-Year-Old Can Run Errands Alone and Not Just on Reality TV, Micheline Duclef brings up the benefits that come from giving your small children responsibilities like running errands. So around the world, the norm is actually giving children complex tasks under the age of five. And I remember reading about that in, it was some like Finnish or Swedish or, you know, some one of the Norwegian countries. But they take them out in the woods and they're like chopping wood with axes.
Yeah.
And they're doing, learning how to build fires and doing things.
Uh-huh.
Maybe Sweden.
I think.
And like learning how to do shit out in the woods.
Right.
And anthropologist Margaret Mead wrote in her article that learning to run errands tactfully is one of the first lessons of childhood. And, you know, this is often the case around the world. Kids in primary school go shopping at the bakery and the supermarket by themselves and proud of their independence. And I think that was something that people used to do. Like our parents' generation, I mean, I don't necessarily know that my parents did it, but like a little more. So they'd be like, hey, go to the store and get me, if I'm, you know, go get me a pack of cigarettes. But like... Go, you know what I mean? Like that was, parents would send you like to go get stuff. I know at least like Mescal's age, like that was, their parents were like, yeah, go to the store and
go
get this.
Oh my God. Again, my mom used to kick us out at like, I don't know, probably 9-10 o'clock in the morning. Like,
go
play with your friends. Here's, you know, you got this much money. Do what you're going to do. And I'll yell for you or call someone's house and figure out when you're coming back.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we don't do that really anymore. Right. I did start sending my kids to the store pretty early on once we moved out here. I mean, Harper was like 8 and I'd have her. And as long as she was with Lulu and like holding her hand, I was, you know, fine. That they had a street to cross, it wasn't terrible. I also baby Lulu a little too much. I've tried to not do that, but a lot recently because Harper's like, okay, by her age I was doing all these things and I'm like, shit, you're right. So I've been like trying to be better about that, you know, but I will say, I mean, I know I probably made this joke on the show before that like for the longest time we would just say like Harper's middle name should be go get your sister because it was like she was constantly taking care of Lulu. So be Harper, go get your sister. And I do think it's good to give them autonomy. Like, look, Harper was able to make a whole fucking breakfast yesterday.
Right.
And by the way, you know, she made me dinner every single night the week before.
That's really sweet.
I mean,
good job, Harper.
Like, and like looked up recipes and like did it, you know?
My kids are going, B's going on a trip to San Francisco for Girl Scouts just with her troop. And she's going to Girl Scout camp later in July. Zoe is going on a 10-day trip with her class to the East Coast. So like they're going out and doing these things and I'm so excited to like watch them launch a little bit, you know what I mean? And like go do these independent things away. I think they will come back so different and so it'll just, I think it'll really be a big shift for them.
No, I agree. I think the other thing.
Because I think kids need to go out and figure out how to do things on their own. And toddlers are dying for that autonomy. Anyway, I'm not saying like go send them, you know, out wherever. But I do think that like this show really reminded me like, oh, kids are far more capable than I think they are. And I need to give them that ability to find themselves a little bit.
I also find that if you set the bar really low of what you'll do as a parent because you make them do a lot of stuff, then when you're like, oh, let me make your lunch for you today, they're like, really, mommy? They're like pleasantly surprised. They're like, but like seriously, like recently, because I've had them make their lunches pretty much their whole lives, or even if it's like leftovers, I kind of watch, but I let them do it. But so when I'm like, I've made you a sandwich, they're like, oh, you're the best mommy in the world.
Like, and I'm like, I'm going to have to see mine are always like, that. It's fine. I'll eat at school. Like, I'm like, can I please, do you want to? No, I'm good. I'm like, oh, okay. Are you eating? Are you okay?
They are fine.
I know. But I really loved watching this show.
I did too.
I, like, I'm gonna keep watching it. It's now.
Me too.
I'm like, oh yeah, here, this is it. This is the, like, I'm gonna put this show on and B's gonna love it.
I'm a little afraid to, I should actually put it on for Lulu just to be like, look, there's a 5-year-old that can do that. You can go into my room and get something, you know?
You can definitely. All I know is I'm just gonna start making little flags. But actually, you know what? It was funny when the little boy put the flag up, B already does that. When she crosses the street or when she's walking through a parking lot, she puts her hand up because she's so short that she worries that people aren't going to see her when they're backing up or when they're driving across the street. So she puts her hand above her head to wave and to make sure. And I'm like, okay, you can cross the street. And I was like, oh my God, she's in sixth grade, you asshole. Of course she can cross the fucking street. Like, you know what I mean? I was like, good Lord, you need to really adjust your expectations. Like, I freak out if she's using the stove or, and you know, whatever.
It's, well, I mean, again, if they don't know how and I, you know.
Right, right, right. You, but at this age, they're in middle,
yes, middle yes. school. Well, Lulu isn't yet, but she will be. And she can make tea. She's mastered that as far as like the stove goes. But yeah, I think I'll have her watch it. I want to warn everybody, you will have some anxiety watching it.
Oh, for like, sure. It's you really, will be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And not just because you're watching the kids. I had anxiety where I'm like, my kids don't do that. Like, you know what I mean? Well, like, I had a little self-judgment where I was like.
That's the thing. Like, look, we can't say how much assistance the kids receive on the show. But the mere fact that they go into the world and return safely seems to sort of run completely opposite to not only how we raise American children, right, but also, you know, the question is American society designed to hold children back? Like, do we infantilize children too much? Do we give, you know what I mean? Like, I know the pendulum, you know, look, we're far way away from, like, you know, children in sweatshops and, you know, knitting things on giant machines. But have we gone so far in the other direction that now there's sort of this suspended childhood that goes on and parents worry that kids aren't capable of doing anything on their own? You know what I mean?
Well, right. I mean, I think that's the whole, you know, helicopter parent versus tiger mom, all that, right, you know, crap. It's weird because it's we are safer now letting kids out than we actually ever have been before. And yet we don't do it as often.
Right. I mean, we are. And the thing is, you know, we will, when you take safety out of the equation, like, you know, when did we sort of decide that, like, kids aren't able to do, like, I remember, you know, I used to see it all the time in like 50s shows, 60s, 70s, whatever, like, oh, the kid's going out and doing this, or they have a job, or they have a whatever. Like,
yeah, I had a job at 14. I mean, you know, 14.
I had a job at 5.
Well, shut up. fuck you. Were you slinging yogurt at 5? No, you had to be
nope,
adorable.
Nope, but I was working on a set and blah, having to work blah through being sick and no, I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding, but that, I'm being an asshole about it.
No, it's true. Like, my mom also like had us travel, I think, and that I really give her a lot of credit for that. I mean, she took us to Israel like a lot when I was a kid. And I think her kind of throwing us into that culture too, because Israelis, same thing. It's like, I remember even as a kid being
it's
like,
just and
there's
again,
kids everywhere and no parents.
And
you know?
Right. And again, it does depend on where you live here in LA. It's just not, that's just not where we live. I grew up in Orange County and I had that a little bit. I did have more of a sort of free play middle school experience, elementary school experience.
Yeah, small towns.
But you know, I think when we realize like we have first and second graders doing active shooter drills, but we're afraid to let them, you know, take care of some errands on their own, I think it's what we're trying to teach them and what our idea of safety is maybe a little bit confused.
It is, I think, a little confused. And it's just hard also because we have such a high murder rate in our country, which is another difference. Like, it's
well,
a cultural,
it's higher, right.
It that's is a true cultural thing here more than other places. Is,
right.
And so I think that's probably an issue, you know? I mean, and I know
that,
I watch too much fucking
that
CSI.
That is a whole other episode.
That is a whole other fucking
episode.
It's
a whole other episode. But let's end our episode on a good note and make a toddler run an errand. No, let's.
And by toddler, she means me.
Yes, exactly. I need a coffee. So let's do our grateful AF cards that we love. I wonder what we're going to get today. What are you going to be grateful as fuck for?
Jesus Christ, right now, I have no idea.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Nice.
Grateful as fuck for David Bowie. I think we can all agree. Woohoo!
Absolutely. We both have David Bowie shoes.
Yeah. And I went to the David Bowie exhibit. Love,
I got a framed
Bowie
poster.
In my house. Fun game. Name someone cooler than David motherfucking Bowie. Mm-hmm. Nope. You can't. David Bowie is the coolest person ever to put on a unitard, and he really fucking is. He modeled radical self-acceptance before we even had a word for it. He believed in the power of creativity, and he obviously didn't give a single fuck what others thought of him. So let's thank the universe for David Bowie.
Woohoo!
Yay! And that is 100% absolutely true. I consider myself very lucky to have been born and able to live in the time of David Bowie and Prince, like two incredible musical geniuses who I have such great admiration for. Okay, no, what are you grateful for?
Weed. Please let me pick that. That'd be like, oh, I've had that one before. I can even see it from underneath.
That's what she said.
Oh, God. Doodads, gizmos, and gadgets.
I've got gadgets and gizmos aplenty.
Yay. The fact that there's a class of things that fall under the category of doodad, gizmo, or gadget makes life a little more fun, doesn't it? Yeah. Also, if something can be described as such a ridiculously silly sounding word, it's usually something pretty fucking cool. Look around. Is it a doodad? Could it be a gizmo? A gadget? In some rare special instances, it just might be a whatchamacallit. Yeah. I call everything all of these. Yeah.
You want thingamabobs?
I got 20.
But who cares?
Here's the thing. I don't remember actual words, though. So now these things are like the words that I use for everything. Do you know what I mean? By the way, my dad, with his, these are all gizmos and doodads are like my father's favorite words. Like, no joke. Everything's a doodad, gizmo, gadget, whatchamacallit. Well, because absolutely. I don't remember fucking anything anymore. That's the problem.
A thingamabob, a whatchamacallit. Right.
I do have 20 because everything's a goddamn thingamabob because I don't know what the names of them are anymore.
Oh, well, I'm grateful for your doodads.
That sounded dirty.
Dear God.
I'm glad somebody's
thankful for my doodads. Please let us get out of this episode. Okay. Anyway, you guys, thank you for joining us today. Make sure you go and check out the Netflix show. What is it? Oh, my God. Wow. Old Enough. There we go. It's you know, whatchamacallit. Apparently, I am old enough because I can't even remember the name of the show I've been talking about. That's it. It's done. We should go home now.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, me fucking too. All right. Well, you guys, if you want to find us at Never Thought I'd Say This on Instagram, across all socials, you can find me at Jody Sweeten. I can find me at Jody Sweeten, if I remember
can
that.
You?
Sure.
You can find me at The Celia Behar. You can find the podcast on
wherever you get your podcast.
But you can also watch this episode a week later on YouTube.
Yes,
so you're
on our
hear
YouTube
it
channel
on 1 week, and then the following week you can watch.
Then
us.
You can watch us do it as well. Jesus. If you really want to torment yourself. All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining us. I'm so glad we talked about this today, and I'm so glad that I made you laugh. Anyway,
thank you.
Remember, you guys, keep going the parenting game,
and not your kids.
Never Thought I'd Say This with Jody Sweeten and Celia Behar is an Audio Boom original.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.